All right, now, Psalm 42, as we look at this particular psalm, I would start by saying that the need of every believer is for an intimate walk with Jesus Christ. Significant to know Him as Savior, no doubt. Vital that we have settled the matter of where we will spend eternity. But there is more to the Christian life than salvation.
Right. Yes, sir.
Now, there is no Christian life without salvation.
Amen.
But once we're saved, then we are to grow in grace. We are to progress in Christian living. And so it is that we need an intimate walk with Jesus Christ. He needs to be special to us. And our relationship with Him needs to be special to us. Now, as you look at this psalm, you see in verse 2 the psalmist's desire. He says, "My soul thirsteth for God." Matthew 5, 6, chapter 5, verse 6 says, "But they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Hungering and thirsting. That's not just, that hungering is not like, "Oh boy, you know, I could use a little bit of a treat." No, it's a man who's hungry. Thirsting is not just so we can have something that tastes good, but it's like a man in the desert that's been without water. "They that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, those are the ones who are going to be filled." Now, in verse 2, he says, "My soul thirsteth for God, the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" That's his desire. Now notice verse 3, because that gives the reality of things. That's where his desire is. But look where he's at. "My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God?" My tears have been my meat. That's what, you know, you eat meat to sustain yourself. Well, David's been sustained with tears. And then if you look in verse 4, the latter part of verse 4, we see his faithfulness. "I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day." His desire is to hunger and thirst after God. But the reality of things were that his experiences in life, he describes them as bringing tears to himself continually. And his faithfulness is there. Nevertheless, he says in verse 5, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me?" And then look at verse 9. "I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning?" Verse 11. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted?" Here was a faithful man who had a desire to hunger and thirst after God, but he finds himself at this point in life saying, why? Has anybody here ever been there?
Oh, come on.
You're faithful. You go to the house of God with others. You sing and you praise and you mean it. But just things in life never seem to be as you would want them to be. Not a matter of whining and complaining or murmuring, but you find yourself saying, "Why, God? Why, God?" Now, personally, I do not think it's an automatic sin to say, "Why, God?"
Right.
When a man is wanting to know God's purposes for what he's experiencing and going through, you may ask God so that he can tell you.
Amen.
Now, if it's a why of a shaken fist at God, and in that why you're blaming God, that's a whole other matter.
Amen.
And that's not where the psalmist was. You see what the psalmist was experiencing in verse 3. He says, when he says, tears have been my meat night, day and night. They continually say unto me, where is thy God? And then look at verse 10. The latter part of it. They say daily unto me, where is thy God? Have you ever had a friend or a family member to whom you may have spoken of Christ, witnessed to, invited to church, and said to them, you need Jesus, the Christian life is a wonderful life, but then you're going through troubles, you're going through hard times, and you can't seem to get any understanding or any direction? Have you had anybody ever say to you, well, where's this wonderful God of yours?
Yeah, buddy.
What about this wonderful Christian life?
Right.
Why are you experiencing what you're experiencing if it's all so wonderful? My God, why am I so disquieted within me? He said, why is my soul cast down? Those are the times when you walk with slumped shoulders and bent over a bit. You remember the times when you've gone to the house of God and kept holy day, and you did sing and rejoice, but now it's a different experience. So the accusations are made by the very people to whom you have prayed for and witnessed to and sought to bring to the God that you know is faithful. Now, lest we figure that's the extent of it, I want you to see the psalmist's hope. Let me show you what he felt in verse 9. We just spoke of it. Why art thou cast down? Why art thou disquieted in me? Now, look what he knew. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. He could not explain to those who were saying, where is your God? But he had in his own heart and mind the confidence to know that I shall yet praise him.
Amen.
Job said, though he slay me, he was going to praise him.
Amen. That's good.
All right?
Yeah.
And God didn't slay him.
That's right.
God didn't slay him. He protected him. Job could not answer the questions why for all of the tragedies of his life, but he never lost confidence in God. Look at verse 9. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression? And then, but look, if you will, at verse 8. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. Verse 11, look at the end of the verse. For I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. So you see, his what he felt was despair, but what he knew was the confidence that God was with him and would bring him through this problem.
Amen.
Now let me tell you, when you're in the problem, you've got to have an intimate walk with Jesus Christ, or the problem will overwhelm you.
That's right.
That's why I began by saying the need of every believer is for an intimate, close, special relationship and walk with Jesus Christ, because when the troubles come, servants yet. You build it now so when they come, you have what you need. We're in the midst of cold winter time in western New York. Some may be listening to this message who live in very nice, pleasant, warm climates, and we envy them. Now listen, if you're going to make it in western New York and any other cold climate country, you need to have cut your wood before.
That's right.
You need to have the oil tank full now.
Amen.
You've got to be prepared. You can't wait. Cold out there. All right? One of our children went, brrr. Yeah, it's cold. And now, but David had this. But do you see that even a faithful man who had his confidence in God, nevertheless was still a man?
Right.
And so repeatedly in this psalm you read, why God? Why God? Why God? You know, sometimes we beat up on ourselves when we ask why. And there's times where we have a needless guilt when we ask why. Because somebody has preached that it's always sinful to ask why. We tell children, don't we? Ask questions. That's how you learn. Okay? and of course, if you have a fair number of children, you get a lot of questions. And you begin to wonder, maybe I shouldn't have said that. But with God, we can ask so we can learn. As I said a bit ago, it is not wrong to ask why when we're trying to find God's purposes for allowing us to go through some of the experiences we do. But if you ask why, accusing God and blaming God, well, obviously, it's wrong. It's a sin to accuse God and blame God. But that's not the kind of why that the psalmist has here. And in Psalm 43 deals with the same kind of situation and setting. And he says in verse 4 that I will go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. And then in verse 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God. He's talking to himself. He's going through problems. And he gives himself the answer. And then he asks himself, now why are you disquieted? Why are you cast down? God is here. Oh, God is faithful. We can always count on the faithfulness of God.
Yes, sir.
But I well understand that when you're in the midst of a problem, there are times when it's hard to focus on what we know, because the emotions and the feelings of the problem can overwhelm us.
Amen.
And there again is why I say we need an intimate, close walk with Jesus Christ. So when those times come, we have the strength to face it. We have the strength to endure it until the sun shines again. Songwriter wrote, let the sun shine again. Let the flowers bloom again. Stir the embers of love in my heart. And that's what we need.
Yes.
That kind of a walk with our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust that will be so. And if you're in a dark time, a difficult time, remember, God loves you and God will strengthen you. Look to Him. I like there in Psalm 43 when he says, then I will go unto the altar of God. Too many people, when they have troubles and trials and difficulties, stay out of church.
Yeah, that's, right.
That's not the time to lay out of church. That's the time to go to church.
Yes, sir.
Now listen to me. You won't feel like going.
That's right.
But we don't do what we feel like we ought to do. We do what we know is right to do.
Right. Well, amen.
I venture to say there isn't any parent here but what they've not told their child that in one form or another. Well, I don't feel like doing it. Well, do it anyway. Why do it anyway? Because it's the right thing to do. But I don't feel like doing it. Just do it. It'll be good for you. Well, can you hear God telling you that? When you feel like staying home to have a party? You say, oh, I got troubles. I don't have a party. Yes, you do. You stay home and you have a pity party.
Right.
We'd be better off to blow the candles out on that cake and go to church.
Amen.
Just be there. You say, well, what good is that? It's better than being at home.
Amen. That's right.
Just be there. That in itself is a step in the right direction.
Amen.
That in itself shows God you mean business with Him. Praise God for His faithfulness. And we can shut the mouths of they that say unto me, where is thy God? He's right where I knew He was, in not my heart, and sitting on the throne and in control of the world.
That's right.
Amen.
Explain it all? We can't. But we don't have to. That's God's business. He doesn't need us to defend Him.
That's right.
We need Him to defend us. And He'll do it. Let's pray. Father in heaven, grateful are we for the love and grace that You have given to us in our own relationship with You. Grateful are we for the way that You have cared for us, provided for us not only the gift of eternal life, but the person of the Holy Spirit, His presence. And we thank You for the work You've done in our life.
Yes.
And know that You will continue to do so. Because You are a faithful God.
Yes.
Now to this end we pray in Jesus, our Holy Savior's name. Amen.
Amen.